Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ, and on behalf of the First Congregational Church in Natick, I'd like to welcome you all here this morning, especially a word of welcome to all the friends who came on Bring a Friend Sunday. And I think it's fair to say that the members of the congregation are just thrilled with all the children. You can clap. A word for the folks who are worshiping at home. We'll be lighting the Advent wreath shortly and invite you to get 4 candles so that you may join us in that litany. Prayer requests can be there should be cards in the pew, and you can write them on a card, and an usher will give them to me. Is it on?
Mm-hmm.
Now it is. Okay, I'm sorry. He probably held up his sign, but I... prayer requests on the card in the pew. They may be mailed to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org or texted to my cell phone, 978-790-8250. The playground is over there behind Mary, actually. And so anybody who would like to be over there should feel free to do so. Some dates that are coming up so people know what's happening. Christmas Eve at 7 o'clock, we will be worshiping right here in this space. I'm told it's a beautiful service and filled with people, so I'm looking forward to that. On Christmas Day, we'll gather for worship at 10:30, and I'm asking, hoping, praying that everybody that comes to that worship service will bring their favorite figure from the creche. Bring that with you. That would be great. And then on New Year's Day, Elaine Gattani will lead worship, followed by a New Year's coffee hour. What is that what you're calling it? Oh, well, let's call it a New Year's coffee hour. The church office will be closed the week between Christmas and New Year's, and John Wegraff will be available for pastoral care during that time. Let's turn our attention to worship. And these words from Psalm 34. I will bless she who is God at all times. Her praise shall ever be on my mouth. I will glory in she who is strength. Let the humble hear and rejoice. Proclaim with me the greatness of she who is exalted, and let us exalt her name together. I sought she who saves, and she answered me and delivered me out of all of my terror. Look upon her and be radiant, and let not your faces be ashamed. I called in my affliction, and she who hears heard me and saved me from all my troubles. The messenger of she who saves encompasses those who revere her, and she will deliver them. Taste and see what she who is delight is good. Happy are they who trust in her. Revere she who is God, you that are her saints, and those who revere her lack nothing. Jeanette?
Please join me in the responsive call to celebration. We are always looking for evidence that God is with us. That sign is the one to come, the one that God is sending. We want to know for sure that everything is in God's care. So we cry to the heavens in our distress. Our cries are heard. God is responding in love and hope. Let us come before God with expectant hearts and spirits.
Let us be ready to receive the blessed gift of the Savior. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit for hymn number 114, O come, Emmanuel.
We gather around the...
Can you hear me? Okay. We gather around the Advent wreath to name abandoned hope, broken peace, lost joy, and love unchosen in our world and our time, and to claim that this candle symbolizes a light more true, more powerful, more faithful than all of these. I light the candles of hope, peace, and joy.
We light the candle of love against loneliness, racism, violence against queer people, capital punishment, and the Me Too wounds of sexual abuse and harassment.
God's love illuminates all hatred so it can be recognized and gives us, we name this.
Emmanuel, God with us.
We're going to light that next candle.
Light this hope, peace, joy, and love on the wick of our lives so that we may share the unconditional welcome that we have found here. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God of love, ferocious love, fierce love, unending love, everlasting love, we gather in this place with gratitude for the ways your love has called us out of our bleakest places into your marvelous love. We know of your renown, and we stand in awe of your work. In our own time, revive it. In our own time, make it known. Give, O Shepherd of Israel, stir up your might in this place. Give us life, and we will call on your name as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. We gather together in this season of Advent, anticipating hope, praying for peace, attempting to cultivate joy and share love amidst commotion, grief, despair, and uncertainty. Let us open ourselves to God and to each other in prayer, first in silent prayer. O God, we confess that we are rushing headlong into Christmas. It's only 1 week away, and we still have so much to do. Our preparations are far from complete, and we are exhausted. We wish this whole thing were over so that we could rest. Forgive our shortcomings and our short-sightedness. You have poured upon us blessing after blessing, daily reminding us of your love and presence. Yet we've chosen to jump onto this grease slide into Christmas. Give us patience, slow us down, remind us of the ways in which you are present with us, not in the wrapped packages and the abundance of food, but in the love and compassion that is brought to all. Forgive us, we pray. Make us truly ready to receive your love and the gift of the Christ child. Amen. The light of God's love shines upon each of us in the gift of God's love, Jesus Christ. This is given for you. Rejoice, you are loved by God now and forever. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's take a moment to share Christ's peace with each other.
Wow. Thank you all. Friends, here, virtually, seeing all of the children here today reminds me of something my dear mom taught me when I was little. And I need some help. I'm kind of in a wayback machine, and I need you with me. Join me. Raise your two hands, everybody, and put them together this way. Ah, yes, and I think you'll remember. Put it down this way, and if you'll help me out, if I remember this right. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors, and here are the people. Look at us. Give yourselves a round of applause. We're here. We're not isolated in our homes. We're here. It's kind of giving me a verklempt moment, but they've asked me to come up here because to talk about we the people, as individuals and as a congregation, we have so much to be grateful for and to look forward to in the coming year. More in-person events, a major remodel of this beautiful sanctuary space, and we're going to have better sound, access, lighting, an upgrade to our live streaming capacities, a return to West Virginia, and pilgrimage opportunities for our youth, and most importantly, the call of a new settled pastor. This congregation is alive and thriving. We've got the desire to do even more for our community. But as we move from COVID to community, we know that the path is not a smooth one. And looking ahead to 23, we are faced with the challenge of fully funding the missions of this church. We can do this, friends. We're asking, if you've already pledged, to please prayerfully consider increasing it. If you've not yet made a pledge, please consider doing so. The amount does not matter. Yes, you heard me right. Yes, we want millions of dollars, but until next week, the amount does not matter. Your commitment does. And that's what we're counting on. If you've not yet made a pledge, the cards are by the entrances, and there'll be some downstairs during coffee hour, or just reach out to the church office. We can answer those questions, and your support truly matters as we commit to the life and work of this church. We need you all. Thank you for who you are, all that you've done in the past, and all that you're wishing for us in the future. Thank you. Merci. Obrigado. Gracias.
Amen. Alive and thriving. Those were your two adjectives, Jeanette?
Yes.
I would add faithful and full of vitality. Some of you may remember the words of the Apostle Paul. It was he who said, you should not give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit. Let us continue to worship God with our offerings. The ushers are actually going to pass the plates. Is that the first time in 3 years, perhaps? So you may place your offering in the plate. You may do it online at firstchurchnatick.org, or you may mail the check to the office. Let's continue our worship with our offering. you please rise in body or spirit? Join me in the responsive prayer of thanksgiving. Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in love.
And we give in love.
A love deeper than our anxiety and fear.
A love growing from our trust in your loving power.
Receive these generous offerings.
And use them to bring your love to our world.
Amen. Please be seated. As we enter this time of prayer, I ask that you hold on your hearts all those who are named in the prayer list in your bulletin. Deb and Steve Evers. Deb has tested positive for COVID. Karen Shirley's dad, Doug, and his wife, Barbara. Doug has been struggling with some health issues and has reached the point where there are more challenges. Other joys, concerns, celebrations, Heather. Would you say the last one, please, again? Burgoyne. Prayers for the Smith family and Stephen specifically, and the Burgoyne family, excuse me. Others. Lorraine. Prayers of thanksgiving for all your friends and their love and support, and it's Bring a Friend Sunday, and Lorraine brought two. Three, I'm sorry. Others. Peter.
Despite breakdowns and colds, the kids are able to come here and enjoy the quiet.
Prayers of thanksgiving to overcome breakdowns and colds and all of that, to come and hear the choir sing this morning.
And the pageant.
And the pageant. Of you don't need to say that. Others. Oh, I'm sorry, Gail. Wow. Remembering your mother with love and fondness. Happy birthday on what would have been her 100th. Others. The congregation's response is, hear our prayer, O God of love. Hear our prayer, O God of love. Jesus was born homeless with only a manger for his bed, so let us pray for those who have no homes. Hear our prayer. O God of love. Jesus was held close by his mother and father. So let us pray for children everywhere who need to be held and loved and celebrated.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
Jesus depended on others to give him food and clothes. So let us pray for those who need both. And we ask you to help us to care for others when we can.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
Jesus was born to bring healing to the world. So let us pray for those who are sick or in need.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
Jesus and his family fled Bethlehem to escape Herod's violence and rage. Let us pray for lives lost to violence and for the safety of all in the coming year.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
Jesus promised eternal life to those who believed he was the Word. So let us pray for those who have died.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
Jesus shared God's love with all. So let us pray for all the people of the world.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
O God of love, you have called us to shine with the brightness of your love. Let the light of Christ shine on us and through us, that we and the whole world may be made radiant with your glory.
Hear our prayer, O God of love.
We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our brother, teacher, and guide, who taught us to pray, our divine parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The Hebrew scripture today comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 2 through 7. The people, women, children, and men who walked in bleakness have seen a great light. Those who lived in the land of the shadow of death, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have magnified its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people, women, children, and men, exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod on their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the trampling warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called a wonder, a counselor, a mighty God, perpetual parent, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be peace without end for the throne of David and his monarchy. God will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of God, commander of heaven's vanguard, will do this. And the Christian scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. Now this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, happened. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to have a child in her womb from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was just a man and unwilling to shame her. He wanted to divorce her secretly. But when he deliberated this, suddenly an angel of the Most High God appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for in her is conceived a child from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this happened to fulfill what had been spoken by the Most High God through the prophet. Look now, the virgin shall conceive a child in her womb and give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which translated means God is with us. When Jesus got up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Most High God commanded him. He took her as his wife, yet did not know her sexually until birthing of her son, and named him Jesus. Here ends our readings for today.
And lo, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city in Galilee. Yes, my dear?
Do we really have to do the Christmas story again? We do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Babies are cute and all, but they don't do anything. There's no action. There's no drama.
This is true, but surely you know that a baby can make all the difference in the world. After all, in your favorite books, it was the baby that most threatened Lord Voldemort.
He who must not be named.
It was a baby who defeated him.
Technically, it was his mother's love that defeated you-know-who.
Indeed. Love is a magic beyond all other magic, and love is at the heart of the Christmas story. The story begins with God's love for us, but the world was not ready for that kind of love. That kind of love threatened the powers that be. It is the height of action, the pinnacle of drama. You just might be surprised. It all began many years ago, one dark night when four wizards.
Wizards?
In those days, they were called magi, wonder workers, readers of great philosophy, observers of the stars.
Goodness gracious me. I wasn't expecting to see you here, Hufflepuff. Halt! Who goes there? What do you mean, who goes there? We're already here. You're the one who's going anywhere.
Things to do, things to say. My name's Gryffindor.
I'm Ravenclaw. This is Hufflepuff. Pleased to meet you.
Halt! Who goes there?
Slitheroff, is it?
It is. Let go of me. What are you doing here? I can't explain it. I just felt drawn to this place like something miraculous was about to happen, and I just couldn't miss it. Well, hello there! Halt! Who goes there?
Me. The star, right here.
The real question isn't who, but why. They were the wizards. Why were the wizards drawn to this place? And why did the star appear? What is happening?
I have come to send you on a quest.
A quest?
Yes, a quest. See, in this time, in this place, the forces of evil were getting stronger. The emperors and kings ruled over the nations with a terrible power, but all of that was about to change.
This is a searching hat.
Ah, so that's the quest, to find someone to wear this hat. It is a pretty amazing hat. I can see why that would be quite an adventure.
No, this search is not about fashion. It is to find someone special. Somewhere in the lands west of here, a new king is about to arrive. The searching hat will lead the wizards to the chosen one. This new king will have the power that threatens all the other powers of the world. Other kings will want to destroy him.
You must find this new king and you must protect him.
If he's so powerful, why would he need us to protect him?
You're right, guys. Let's just not go. Hey, where did the star go? How are we supposed to know where this king is?
The star was gone. The directions were confusing. The hat was amazing.
The star told the wizards to go west, but where? The west was a pretty big place. It might be a long search. The four wizards decided they better get moving if they were ever going to find this new king.
Did you see change? Oh, yeah, I think we're the next one.
Meanwhile, in a little town called Nazareth, an unimportant girl was about to receive the most important news of all.
Greetings, favored one.
Yikes!
I'm Hagriel, the angel of the Lord, and I've come to bear you good tidings. You're blessed among women, Mary.
I'm what?
You're blessed among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.
The what?
You're gonna have a baby.
I think you have the wrong house.
But Hagriel knew exactly what he was talking about. He's in the right house, and he's talking to the right girl. Yes, Mary Potter is going to have a baby. Hagriel told Mary not to be frightened, that her baby would be very special, and that God had chosen her to be the mother of the Savior of the world.
The Savior of the world? Oh, I know this part. Mary's child is going to be the Son of God. What did Mary think about that?
The Son of God? That's impossible.
We all know nothing's impossible with God.
Okay, I'll do it. If God has chosen me to bear the Savior of the world, I'll do it.
I think we're next.
And so the wizards journeyed, crossing over land and sea, navigating the treacherous rivers and mountainous landslides, until one dark night They reached the edge of a wide field full of shepherds and their...
Spiders?
Well, you said you wanted action.
Okay. All I said was the star said we wouldn't believe it, and what would be more unbelievable than you do not get to try on the hat?
My turn.
Let go, I'm not done.
Yes, who goes there?
Good evening, great wizards.
What a lovely flock of spiders you have.
Thank you, great wizards. Shabby is taking very careful care of their spiders.
Who is Shabby? He's talking about himself.
What is you all doing out here so late? Is you looking for something?
No, just out for a walk.
Well, that's weird, but okay.
Have a nice walk!
Why did you lie?
Did the star mention anything about spiders?
No.
Do you think maybe that would have been covered?
Are you all right?
Yeah, we're great, thanks. We're just headed out. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. We've got to find someone important.
Greetings and salutations.
Merlin's beard!
Don't be afraid.
Shabby is not afraid. Shabby is calm. Calm as a spider in her web. A web with a giant in it.
I'm Hagriel, the angel of the Lord, and I bring you an important message.
Important? You is bringing an important message to Shabby? But Shabby isn't important at all.
No, Shabby, don't say that. Everyone is important in the eyes of God. That's exactly what Hagriel said. He told Shabby and the shepherds that God loved them very much and that they are precious in God's sight. Then he told them all about Mary and the baby. He told Shabby and the shepherds to rejoice, for the Savior of the world was coming any moment, right down the road in a manger.
Shabby must have misheard you, large sir. A manger?
Like a food trough where all the hotels full?
Just get yourself down there, will ya? If an angel's telling you to do something, just go do it.
Really?
Well, that was kind of nice. The shepherd got the message, too. I read that shepherds would have been considered kind of gross.
That's true. They slept outside with the sheep for most of the year. They were smelly and dirty, not the kind of people you announce important news to. But God sees each of us as having importance. Each of us is worthy of the great message.
That God loves us?
That God loves all of us. To recognize God's love for myself, I must recognize God's love for others, too. Those who have more than they need must share with those who do not.
Like in Mary's song, when she sings about the hungry being filled?
Precisely. Precisely, my dear.
God who saves us.
I'm saying isn't that they get to try on the hat. So should I.
All right, all right. Good grief.
Knew it. Just give it a minute. Yes. Who goes there?
Can you help? Seriously? Welcome to the Squeaky Kettle. I'm Tim, the innkeeper. What can I get for you?
We seek the chosen one.
Oh, way to fly under the radar.
We're looking for a king. He's supposed to be very important.
Well, we're full up tonight. I'm having to let people stay in the barn. No kings, though. If you're looking for a king, you should probably check the palace.
The palace! Of course! The palace!
It's just up the road there, biggest castle in the city. Can't miss it.
No, not that one.
Do I go?
You can
go.
Go, 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 go.
Can't see it.
They can't go to the palace.
But that's what they did, my dear.
But that's where the terrible tyrant lives. He's evil. He's been stealing money from people for years, building up the temple just to make himself look good. He's the worst kind of king. We shouldn't even speak of him. We should call him He Who Must Not Be Named.
Be all that as it may, the Magi did go to the palace, seeking King Herod.
He Who Must Not Be Named.
Seeking He Who Must Not Be Named, in the hope that he might have had a son, the chosen one, the promised king to come.
It says here that the king of Judea is Herod the...
He Who Must Not Be Named.
Okay, the king of Judea is...
Hi, that's me, King Herod the Great. Emphasis on the great.
Why do they call you Herod the Great?
Isn't it obvious?
Herod began to brag about all the things that he had done. He thought he was pretty special and did not even notice that the wizards were more skeptical than impressed. Bragging is not very polite, but still, he was the king, and the star did say that they were looking for a king.
But the star said a new king. Like a baby.
Yes. The wizards had that very same argument. They didn't really like this king. He did not seem like a nice person at all. But, well, a king is a king, and so far they had not had any luck with the shepherds and the spiders or the innkeeper. Eventually, Gryffindor got tired of all the arguing. He grabbed the hat and went right up to Herod.
He who shall not be named.
Yeah, yeah, him. Gryffindor plunked the hat right on the top of his head.
And?
Well, nothing happened.
Well, that's good.
So the wizards told Herod. They told Herod all about their quest and their failures so far to find the chosen one, the new king, the powerful ruler who would bring down the tyrants. Herod was pretty sneaky. He said his own prophets had foretold of the coming of a new king, but not in Jerusalem, in a little town of Bethlehem.
Bethlehem? We were just there.
Yes, and Herod told them to go back. He pretended to be interested and supportive. He told the wizards they must find this new king and then come back and tell him exactly where to find him so that he could worship him.
Worship him? I don't trust this guy.
Come on, guys, let's go. It's not like we need any directions. First left after the spiders.
And off they went back to Bethlehem, where the evil king had made his evil plans.
A new king. I must put a stop to this.
left it.
Yeah, we were here before, but we never thought to check the barn.
Yeah, lots of amazing things can happen where people never bother to look.
Who are you all?
I'm Gryffindor, the bold.
I'm Ravenclaw, the clever.
And I'm Slytherin. Nice to meet you.
And the wizards told their story, all about the star and the quest and the searching hat. They told of all they had met on their journey. They told of the prophecy of this new king, who would be a powerful king, chosen to stand up against all the might and power of the old kings and emperors. They told how their search had led them here, right to this manger.
Now, wait a minute. There's nothing important here, just a little family and an itty-bitty baby.
If you haven't already heard, this baby is far more important than any of you can ever imagine.
Wow!
The angel said he would be the Son of God. He would save the world.
Ah, this is a great story. The end.
No, it's not the end. Just then, a terrible thing happened.
Stop everything! The child's in terrible danger!
Herod came in, carrying a sword with an evil smile on his face. He didn't trust the wizards to come back and tell him where this new king was, so he had followed them there, and now the Son of God and everyone else was in grave danger.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. There was a terrible battle. Everyone watched with fingers crossed that Gryffindor would triumph.
And no one was paying attention to the special baby. Hey, Slytherin, get them to safety.
Grab the chosen one and follow me.
And Gryffindor thrust to the right. Herod parried. They thrust high, and they thrust low, and finally disarmed Herod.
Yay!
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 Herod turned to run away and ran straight into Ravenclaw.
How to sneak away. If it was Ravenclaw who cleverly misdirected him.
I couldn't have done it without Gryffindor's bravery. I can't believe you disarmed him.
And Hufflepuff!
I wasn't gonna let anybody lay a finger on that baby.
What happens now?
And Hagriel told them how the family was in danger still and must flee to Egypt to hide until it was safe to come home again. They hugged the wizards and thanked them and went on their way.
So what do we do now? We can't let angels do all the work.
Or wait for the chosen one to grow up and change the world.
We have a job to do, and like the star said, we need each other to do it.
We can't keep this to ourselves. We have to teach others how to protect those in need.
I think we should start a school.
I guess you were right. It's not just a story about a baby. It's a story about all of us. We all have a role to play in God's great story of welcoming those who seem unimportant, fighting against evil, and protecting those in danger.
Indeed. And the Magi's work continues. All of us have special gifts, which may seem sometimes like a hindrance, but God has made us different, not to divide us, but to give us greater strength when we work together as one.
Will good really triumph over evil in the end?
In small and great waves, we have seen it done. The baby Jesus escaped to Egypt. The crucified Jesus rose from the tomb. I see no reason to think that what God has already done will not lead us to a day when evil is finally over and the reign of God can truly begin. After all, the greatest of all magic is the power of love.
Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night?
Thank you.
It's not just a story about a baby. It's a story about all of us. We all have a role to play in God's great story of welcoming those who seem unimportant, fighting against evil, and protecting those in danger. This week, we will be headed to see Mary Potter in the Manger of Magnificence. As you go, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen.
Got all our transitions. There was only one moment where I thought I'd lost my place, and I thought I had a line, but it was actually a kid who had a line.